I'm here. Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Option Show. Happy hour? I can't remember.
Happy hour.
Richard, talk to me, guy. And Sherry, good evening, Sherry. Happy hour?
Good evening. This is kind of happy hour where we usually do a demonstration, but when all that mess happened, when your whole geographic location caught on fire and you got evacuated and we got struck by lightning, then we got blackballed. So we had to reschedule our very special guest, Stephen Huer, a couple of times. So we have just decided we're not waiting until the end of December, which is the next Sunday we had open, that we would just invite all of you to a happy hour to listen to Stephen Huer, because he's kind of like a fuel refinery kind of thing, that there's all different kinds of cars and motorcycles and lawnmowers, and they all take different kinds of fuel. And so what Stephen does is go around trying to find the right fuel for the right person, and in this case all the right foods and amino acids and oils and all the good stuff. So he has a consulting, I guess, it's not a business, it's a consulting thing set up where you can get 15 minutes with him, and he can tell you about your nutrition based on all of your different complaints. So we're very happy to have him on the show. Get your questions ready, because he is just an encyclopedia of information. And if you'd like to go on our portal, thesoundhealthportal.com, and you can sign up as our guest, I think they call it the apprentice, and you can test your nutrition right online. But I have to warn you, we usually do three decimal points of variance, and we're having to do six with some of you that have come online. The portal is open. And one of the new things on the portal that I think is wonderful is that we have a breathing thing up there. So people around Richard in Northwestern California, with all the fires, which I'm hoping he'll catch us up on, will be able to go to the portal, give a 30-second sample of their voice, and see if they have been toxified. Richard, catch us up on the fire.
Well, on Sunday's show, I talked about that it's estimated that currently in the fire, and I live north of San Francisco by about 40 minutes, and north of me by about 20, 25 minutes at the most is the Santa Rosa area. This is all Sonoma County. There's also Napa County involved, which is a huge chunk of the mid-north end of California, in which we've had, the estimates are, over $3 billion worth of damage and property loss, and we've also had lives lost. A lot of, 50 or 60 people have died. And in the scale of things, I think it's a miracle that few people died. I'm not in any way diminishing the people who lost their lives. However, in the amount of fire that there was, more than 250,000 acres burned in California, and particularly in the north end of Sonoma County, the Santa Rosa area. Huge. I mean, developments of 200 and 300 homes are gone, just gone. So it was it was amazingly devastating. So there was the stress and strain of that, and you can still hear it in my voice a little bit. I still am clearing and coughing because we had an amazing amount of smoke for probably 2 weeks. We had an amazing amount of smoke, and we had a little tiny amount of rain, which helped some. But just the amount of particulate in the air, let alone what is in that particulate between fire retardant, which is gnarly. Sherry did a great workup on that, on me, looking at what's in fire retardant. That was scary enough. But then you also add to that what's in every building and every property, and some of this is ag property, a lot of this was homes. What were in all of those homes, and as I say, in many of these subdivisions where homes are, there's nothing. I mean, it's just ash. You know, yeah, there's a random standing fireplace or stone wall or something, but everything else is gone, and that includes hot water heaters and wiring and metals and, you know, all sorts of materials, which when vaporized are pretty gnarly. So pretty much of Northern California is pretty creepy. And Sherry came up with this great program, of course, like the radiation program she did when Fukushima happened, and started testing me early. And she produced this great chart where I would take vocal prints daily and look at my voice. Or she actually, back before the portal. So she would take a vocal print and run it through, and then I had a chart. She'd say, oh, this is high, this is, you know, something. And I would take supplements, because that's what I had available to me, because I didn't have any equipment, because I wasn't staying in my home because we were evacuated. But I could take supplements. So I would see that something was bad, or I'd see that an indicator muscle, like I had a lot of issues with the, I want to say gracialis, but that's not the muscle. The one from the inside of the knee to the outside of the hip, that muscle would cramp up just like, wow. And I saw that as an indicator muscle on the chart, and I started, I believe, taking PABA, and that cleared up in a day or two. I mean, that cramping stopped. And so I was using the other supplements, and I'm much better than I was. I still have some croup and can really bark pretty gnarly. But I think I'm doing a lot better than many of my neighbors and the people who are not doing the vocal profile. And so I'm really advocating. I'm very excited to see that Sherry's put that up on the soundhealthportal.com as a free. Well, I'll let you talk about that, Sherry, because I can't remember what it's called. But I know that it's available there, and I've been telling people one by one, go there and do your vocal print, because it's a great thing. Go ahead, Sherry.
I had myself on mute. We put up an article. We put up the charts. They can go in and send us a vocal print if they have a microphone, and we will give them back a chart saying what they have been exposed to as a toxin. The other thing that you brought up, Richard, that's a really good point. I didn't think of it. Everybody is in such a state of shock. So we're also putting up PTSD. And the other thing, all these houses and everything that burnt, we did all that decoding when we did 9/11 many, many years ago, all the electrical burning toxins. So that's going to be up there, too. They're putting it up today. So go to soundhealthportal.com and then to services, and it'll be there. Yes, Richard, in answer to your question, we got a little thing going on backstage here. So we're trying our best to take a problem like the fires and then help the people. Are you getting any help from any organizations to help with the devastation? I saw one thing on the news that they were going to pay all the hospital bills for the people in Las Vegas and that catastrophe. Are they going to pay any of the hospital and doctor bills for the people in the fire?
I haven't heard anything about that. And I do know that there is a group that's suing PG&E because a lot of the thinking is that the fires were started by, we had big winds, for here we had big winds, and the lines, the PG&E lines, flailing around in the big winds shorted and caused the fire to start. So I know there is a group taking a class action suit against PG&E. So I'm not sure where that stands. I know that there are a lot of, even just down the street from me here, there's a fire recovery center. I know at the Hannah's Center, which is a boys' school center, or I'm not sure exactly what they do, but it's been here forever, the Hannah Boys Center, has a fire, you know, victim recovery center and supplies, and people have been donating and gathering together, you know, clothing. Because, I mean, now the shock is really settling in because people who've lost their homes have nothing. except what they had on their backs or in their car at the time. And I know a number of people, every day I run into somebody who lost something or has a close relative or a family member who's lost their home. And I know a number of people who were in their homes and the fire department would come driving down the street slowly announcing, you know, you're being evacuated now, get out, which means that you have time to grab your dogs, your kids, and your bag and get out. It isn't like, oh, you have time to pack a bag. It's like, get out now. And I know somebody who had that very incident where she had time to gather her dogs and her, you know, minimal personal belongings. And as she was driving down the road away from her fourplex, she could see fire in the rear window. I don't mean she, you know, in her rearview mirror, she could see the fire coming. So there was a lot of people who left very quickly, and so they have nothing. So now people are donating clothes and shoes and books and, I mean, everything imaginable. So those kinds of donation centers, but I haven't heard anything about people receiving any benefits of the government being organized enough to do anything as of yet. Mostly it's been volunteers.
Well, who is your local government representative or whatever, and I'll see what I can do here. We've got some people and groups that work with us. And we will just get in touch and make a recommendation or a strong, recommendation that they should help you guys, because this was none of your doing either. And that's what they're saying about, and they're trying to do it through Obamacare, that they will pay all of the expenses for the people who are in the hospital because they were shot or maybe even because they were stressed. We're doing our bit, and so there's a couple of organizations that may be able to help. I guess I could look that up on the internet and wherever you are, and
I'll have to look and see who the local representatives are, because there were so many cities involved. I know that the town of Sonoma. I mean, there are many little towns that each have their mayors and their groups that are doing things. I know a lot of restaurant people who have been giving food. Well, I know a lot of restaurant people who had either food trucks or organizations where they would open it to all the firefighters or anybody working in the fire and were just feeding them for free. And now I know that they're still feeding some people as much as possible, because there are, like I say, there are probably, well, there's about 3,500 properties gone in Northern California. So those people need to eat and have a place to sleep and try and, you know, get their kids to school. So there are organizations that are helping them, but I don't know. I don't know of any government action yet. I'll look into that and get back to you.
Well, I bring part of this up because Obamacare is coming into it. we have a guest on Sunday, can't remember his name, Michael, that is going to talk about Obamacare, and he has a book about it. And one of the things that I hate about Obamacare is that we're all going to be forced to do vaccines. I just got information back from Sherry Tenpenny. Several of you sent this to me. But there is now a vaccine that goes directly into your DNA and alters it. Now, what this is for, they say, is supporting your immune system. Do you remember reading anything like ancient times in Lemuria, where scientists, mad scientists, were changing people's DNA and it obliterated the whole population on the earth?
Seems vaguely familiar.
Well, I've read about it in some books, and I just think that's where we're working ourselves onto, to change the DNA with a vaccine. That's another thing to get rid of Obamacare. Also, Sherry Tenpenny sent me, China says 650,000 vaccines that were bad were sent out. Good grief, if it wasn't enough, now they want to do that. Just go and look on 650,000 vaccines damaged in Japan. there are so many people out there on the forefront that are just getting smashed in the face because they're trying to tell the truth. And that's one of the things we try to do on this show, is tell you the truth. Richard, do you have any announcements before I talk to bring our guest on?
I have one comment having to do with the vaccines. With the vaccines, I forget, I don't know if it was when we talked to Sherry Tenpenny or one of the people that we talked to that really talked about, and I've groused about this, I'm certain, or I know I have, about that they are completely unaccountable. You know, they can really do whatever they want with vaccines. I don't mean in terms of injecting us. That's a separate conversation. I mean, they can pretty much kill anybody or do anything, and all that's going to happen is money that our tax dollars are put away in a safe place to allow them to have closed court conversations where people sign non-disclosure agreements and have settlements with the courts that are built by the vaccine companies and manufacturers. So they have no accountability. So why wouldn't they want to do whatever they want and send them expired or not? I mean, they've lobbied themselves into a position of completely unaccountable. They can do whatever they want. And I blame that
follow
on lobbying.
The money.
Yeah, follow
Richard
the money.
Richard says follow the money for always. We just sent out a press release to every radio station we could find in Northern California, asking them to announce that our website was ready and willing to help. And I can bet they're going to announce a vaccine about smoke damage to your lungs. Because all they have to do is throw something together and stick it in you. And they don't, like you say, they don't have to account for anything. Because they own the company. They got the government to admit them into a space of absolute non-responsibility. And they're trying to make us swallow it. Boy, I'm hoping Stephen has something to counter this, too. Trying to make us swallow it, that there's no damage when they've paid out billions of dollars in damages. So that's a real cognitive dissonance. That's the definition of cognitive dissonance. Two things that both are claiming to be the truth. But it's when the lawyers got involved. Most lobbyists are lawyers or bankers. And they always can pick out two sides of the truth and try to make you believe it. And I think that's how we've really gotten into trouble. In the beginning, when they did the putting America together, they had an extra amendment that said no lawyer could serve in Congress because they knew there'd be fights and they'd take two different sides. And spin it and try to make you believe it, leaving out the truth, bending the truth. And I think that's what's happened to our health system, where there's two sides, where you look at Barbara Lo Fisher and she's absolutely telling the truth and here's the problem and be careful. And then you've got Paul Offit on the other side, and bioacoustically, he is lying, but you look into his background and he invented one of these vaccines, and he's getting money from one of these vaccines. Barbara Lo Fisher gets nothing. She's just trying to get the truth out there, and they've done such stupid stuff to her. Tried to connect her website with a porn site. You know, just totally stupid stuff. But the truth with a capital T, where is it? Paul Offit is saying, absolutely, this is needed, and I can't remember, it's something about the digestive system. Absolutely, I can be neutral, even though I'm stuffing pockets full of money in my trousers, and they're getting away with it. We ought to outlaw lobbyists, don't you think?
That's so kind. Yes, I'd like something a little more aggressive, but yes, absolutely. There's so many things that I can talk about. Yeah, we could do a whole show of just me complaining about what lobbyists have been responsible for. So yes,
well,
let's outlaw them. I'm for that. Let's stop lobbying.
Didn't we have one on the show, and he told us exactly how to buy a congressman? I can't can't remember
his name.
Did.
Who was that? I can't remember. If I find that in my notes, I'll let you know.
Yeah, he had even been in jail. But there's so much going on. That is one of the main reasons we created that little nano voice. Not only can you test yourself for food allergies and that kind of thing, but you also tell who's lying. And there's a lot of videos about how to look at allergies and who's lying and all that. Nano voice, nanovoice.org, or you can download it from soundhealthoptions.com. I really want to get to our guest because all of this is leading to him about who's telling the truth about food and big pharma and toxicities and vaccines and how that damages our immune system. Now, Stephen Huer has been with us for, I don't know, years, it seems like, and bringing us new stuff every time. He brings it all together, and that's why we've named the show Bringing It All Together, because most of us want to be healthy. You know, we've had a few people who really like being sick. Most of us want to live a long life, but only if we're healthy. I remember many, many years ago when I was taking my courses for a degree in bioacoustics, and they were saying, you don't need nutrients, you get everything from your food. You know, how wrong can you be? It was an absolutely useless degree. But those professors were absolutely adamant that nobody needed nutrients of any kind for any purpose. Stephen, we are very thankful that you are on the show, self-educated for the truth. One moment, please. I'm going to put this in the chat. Richard is asking me something. I think he's trying to get in touch with our guest.
Stephen is a great rabble rouser. I like that.
He
I like
cares.
That in our guest. He really cares, and he's slightly surly, and I like that. In a kind,
and he's
he sounds
really,
much softer than I do. He's not quite as ranty as I am. I'm more rah, rah, rah. But Stephen's really, he's a warrior. I like it. Okay, go ahead, Sherry. Thanks.
Yeah, he's willing to pay the price to help you and to stand by his own decisions. He's one of those very strong people who have decided they're going to make a difference, and he's standing there boxing it out with whoever wants to put money in their pocket at the expense of your health. Is Stephen on the phone with us yet?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hey, Richard.
Hi.
Hi.
Pleasure hearing you both share your wonderful education on the various subjects of the day and enlightening people on them. It's, you know, nice to be with you. Thank you.
We often get on our soapbox.
Well, I'm glad you do. You know, it's like any time a person of conscience has a clear perception of the truth, it's in your nature to stand up and communicate it to those who don't know.
Stephen, what do you see as the biggest problem facing people now who want to eat? I don't have any other way to say it. Who
yeah,
want to have
it's a
good
difficult thing because, I mean, I'm concerned because so many people eat non-organically and think that's okay, but are not aware of the high degree of genetically modified legumes, grains that are in there, whether it's their corn chips at the Mexican restaurant or their tortillas or whatever. There's some form of GMO, either corn or grain, or in this case, like wheat. Wheat's not a genetically modified grain, but it has been in practice many times when it's not organic. It's sprayed 3 days prior to harvest with glyphosate, so that it will dry out through the whole field in 3 days and be really easy to harvest with the combine. They'll get more of a yield because no field harvest, or I should say, ripens 100% evenly all at once. It's an uneven ripening, so they can only get the ripe portion. So it's this sick practice that's been going on for some time. So there's all this glyphosate people are ingesting into their body unknowingly when they're eating non-organic, or if they're eating, you know, meats or dairy that have been raised on genetically modified grains, which is the standard of care today, you end up with the glyphosate going into your body, which is going to destroy your GI tract, put holes in it, make you have leaky gut, help go to your brain and create Alzheimer's for you, you know, help create cancer. I mean, it's just all these different things. So a person has to really be careful. You know, organic label is preferred, but if they can't get organic, make sure that, you know, they know that it wasn't sprayed with glyphosate. I was buying these supposedly super high-quality meats from Georgia, won't name the company, but they claim, you know, pastured chickens and pastured pork and pastured whatever. So last year when I was eating that way, I bought all these meats thinking I was getting the right thing, and I got sick eating the duck, I got sick eating the pork, and I emailed them and I said, are your animals fed any grains? And if they are, do you know if they're sprayed with glyphosate? And she says, well, we can't verify or not verify that. And I just go, well, then you guys are a total lie. So, you know, I asked for a refund. They would.
Hello? Richard, we totally lost.
I know.
Stephen.
He looks like he's still here, but we're not hearing you, Stephen.
Did your microphone go down? Unplugged? You know, last week I was trying to use a new headphone and people complained because there was a lot of crackling. Well, so we get Stephen back. There's a little bit to talk to you about, and we'll ask him too when he gets back. That glyphosate, if you look at the patent, it destroys thiamine and methionine, takes those two out. And methionine is a major detoxifier of what is going on in the body. So that dampens, maybe even more than dampens, your immune system. And then taurine you have to have for your muscles and your heart and whatever else is going on. And those are two things. And they state it right in the patent that those two things are really modified so that they're not being useful in the body. Richard, do you want to try to call him back?
I think he'll call back in a moment. I was going to toss out, if I don't see him in a moment, I will, but he called in well before, he's not back yet. that it used to be also in the original patents on one of the statins, I can't remember which, might have been Lipitor, that they, a long time ago, they, I think I hear Stephen, or that's me, just hearing me. Not yet. I want to say Lipitor.
Lipitor.
That they had, by Merck, they originally had in the patent that you had to take it, they suggested, in the patent they talked about taking it with CoQ10, because it was stripping the CoQ10 out of the heart muscle. So in the original filing sometimes, especially in these old patents, they have things where they've let something slip through. And I think, you know, like you said, thiamine is a thing. I'm going to step backstage for a moment and see if I can call Stephen, if you can riff for a moment.
Okay. I would like Stephen to tell his own story because he was eating things that didn't go with his body, whether it's his blood type or body type or whatever. And how he got into this and was determined to find out what foods were best for him or not is an absolutely fascinating story. The other thing is we have a chat open if you guys have questions. I've gotten three already just from my private email about labeling or not labeling and reading labels, so we can ask him about that. And then organic and non-organic, what does that really mean? That's another question that came through to my email. So when Stephen gets back, we'll ask him about those three things.
So I'm here. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes. We were talking about organic and non-organic. We were talking about your own story and making that very individual and how you could make other people's nutrients individual to them. And then about how to, these are questions that people send to me, how to read labels and whether or not GMOs should be labeled. So just take those in whatever order you remind you if
well,
you forget.
Well, organic versus non-organic. Organic means that the crops have been raised with compost, minerals, natural fertilizers, no chemical fertilizers. And if they used any kind of pesticides, they were biologicals, meaning they biodegrade very quickly. So you have a substance there that's going to be, you know, it's already proven. They've done studies on this that organic is much higher in nutrients, which, by the way, is still a far cry from what's ideal. We don't see anywhere commercially today organic or non-organic food being grown on truly fertile soil. Because if you did, that fruit or vegetable could be harvested and it would never rot. It would sit on your shelf or in your refrigerator and it would merely dehydrate. That's called a hybrid fruit or vegetable or grain or whatever, and that's the kind of food that truly nourishes the body. I believe that the body is designed to be vegetarian if it's eating foods that are grown on this super fertile soil, because super fertile soil will produce very high levels of what's called mineral sugars. And the mineral sugars are basically calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, and all the other minerals, but basically calcium being the most important one, bound to sugars. And as those mineral sugars go into the liver, they activate the liver's ability to produce albumin, primary protein the body produces for tissue repair, and you end up having a much more efficient synthesis of protein in the body without ingesting physical protein. So, yeah, organic's preferred, but sometimes, you know, organic's pretty lousy because it's just they don't do a good job of fertilizing the soil. And let me just double-check. Am I still on with you guys? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. So the other questions were, you're going to have to repeat them for me, Sherry.
One of them was label or non-label. How do people read those? How do we tell?
Well, the thing is, it's got, if it's an organic label, it's going to say it. And you should look online and find all the crops that are sprayed with glyphosate and not sprayed, so that you can be sure that what you're reading, if in case it's not organic, you know it's not been sprayed with glyphosate. You know, I personally don't, you know, I've had a lot of health challenges, and I don't know how long it's been since I've been on your show, but in early 2016, I was doing a specific raw vegetarian diet that Lou Corona teaches. It's very high in almond milk and almonds and kale, and everything was very high in calcium oxalate. And by the fourth month of being on that diet, my heart began to race nonstop, and it was going like 85 beats a minute all the time. And then if I ate something that triggered it more, it would go to 140 beats a minute. It took me a while to figure out what was wrong, but I finally got a diagnosis of a hyperthyroid. And then I found out that the hyperthyroid was caused because of the high calcium oxalate that I ingested. Some people, like myself, are born with the inability to detoxify efficiently. So I was born that way, but then I also got injured from mercury poisoning when I was a teenager that compounded that inability to detoxify. So naturally occurring plant toxins like lectins and calcium oxalate that most people might be able to eliminate efficiently don't. And so they build up in my body. They poisoned my thyroid and created a hyper instead of a hypothyroid. So I have been battling this since early 2016 till now. And it's really been a challenge. I mean, I lost all my weight. I went from 128 pounds to 99 pounds. I have to rest all the time. And now I'm pretty confident that the reason for the perpetual state of the thyroid being the way it is because I already had the Epstein-Barr virus in my body that created chronic fatigue years ago, that this is now in my thyroid living happily in there, causing all this hyperactivity. So it's my educated opinion that I'm going to at some point get rid of the virus, which will then get rid of the hyperthyroid. So that's where I'm headed. But, you know, I eat very pure and my diet is raw. It's 100% raw. And I'm doing a diet that's mostly fruitarian, but I also do this super algae called Bio Superfood that gives me all the amino acids and a lot of the nutrients the body needs. Plus I do some cultured sunflower cheese where you take and soak pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds and germinate them, and then you puree them in water and you inoculate them with a probiotic and they turn into a nut or a seed yogurt within like 6 hours. And then I put that in the fridge and I'll put a few spoonfuls of that on top of mung sprouts, lentil sprouts, and an avocado with some seasoning. And that's my most densest meal. And, you know, I'll do the One World Way here and there too. But basically, based on my iris analysis and my physical experience of like my body's genetic weaknesses and stuff, you know, I need to detoxify, I need to rebuild my glands. I'm also taking some glandulars. And so that's the most purest diet that will purify the tissues plus rebuild the glands. And once the glands are rebuilt, you can gain your muscle back. Even if you're not on a high level of protein, you can still gain your muscle back and be really healthy again. So that's my goal.
And do you have – I have this question, and then I have a question back to what you were talking about before. Do you have a recipe any place on your site for that nut yogurt thing you just talked about?
You know, we what I'll do is I'll have it posted back up. We used to have a video with instructions. I'll have it put back up. I got concerned about being up because he was out, you know, showing how to do an almond yogurt, and that's the thing that caused me to have the hyperthyroid, the high calcium oxalate
right.
foods. If people just are aware that, you know, if they're a good detoxifier, they don't need to worry about it, because the guy that formulated the diet, he's been doing this stuff since he's 21. He's 66 now. But he is the strongest, youngest man I've ever met at age 66. I mean, he's just, like, phenomenal. He's 100% raw vegan, and he does tons of this fresh almond milk mixed with kale juice, mixed with some apple juice, and a couple of dates blended up, and that's he calls that gorilla milk. And the guy thrives on it. I mean, it OD'd me because of the calcium oxalate, but he thrives on it for all these years. So most people, I think, will be fine on it. What we'll do is we'll repost on the videos section of our website. If you click on the videos section, educational videos, we'll repost that video of Lou Corona showing instructions on how to make the almond yogurt.
Okay, and as long as we're here for the listeners only, where is it? What is your website?
Celebes, SGN80.com. Sam George Nancy, the number 80.com.
Cool. Now I have a question. I want to jump back. Do you back to label? This has to do with labeling. The food industry has glommed onto this nebulous lie called natural. When they can't seem to figure out how to label something any other way, they go for natural, which means nothing. I mean, truly, everything is natural. You know, everything is natural. Radiation is natural. I don't want to eat it necessarily, but I mean, could you talk about that a little bit, the sort of, you know, lying of the labeled industry, that it's really tricky, that you need to pay attention? Sort of my modeling is I try not to eat anything out of a box, but that's just me. You know, that's how I try
and
avoid.
Yeah, and I agree with your, box, can, whatever. I agree with that. You know, I'll buy my grains in bulk, I'll buy my legumes in bulk, I'll sprout them before I, you know, do anything with them. So I'm of the same opinion, not to buy things pre-made, pre-packaged, because it's just dead in general. So in terms of the word natural, I mean, sure, it's been abused, because anybody that's not a little bit more savvy, educated on the subject, natural doesn't mean anything, because, you know, most everything is natural. It doesn't mean that it's good for you. You know, with a little bit more education, you become to realize that how something is grown, where it's grown, you know, and then the word organic makes the difference in terms of the quality. And it doesn't have to be organic to be quality either. I mean, you can actually, you know, just have somebody growing it with really fertile soil that uses some chemical fertilizers, and you get fantastic results, really high quality fruit, but you haven't followed the organic standards. So, like, if I ever opened up my own farm and grew my own food for sale, I would call it Hybrix food or Hybrix gardening, because that connotes the quality of the fruit, of the vegetable, the nut, the seed, the grain, and then whether or not, you know, I could use some chemical fertilizers, calcium nitrate, ammoniacal nitrogen. You can use these things in small amounts, but they won't harm anything, and you'll have fantastic results, but you then can't call it organic. So people just need to get an education. You know, there's the internet, there's good books on the subject. And, you know, unfortunately, because of, the way things are, I mean, people aren't educated correctly. And then they grow up with a lifetime of belief in medical doctors and their advice. And so when they get their cancer or whatever, they go to the doctor rather than understand there's holistic options that can free them from that fear and alleviate the cancer out of their body. You know, or most people, they'll eat the refined white sugar so many years of their lives that they'll finally acquire insulin insensitivity, become a type 2 diabetic or a type 3 diabetic, which is Alzheimer's. You know, and then everybody's blaming and demonizing sugar as bad. Stay away from sugar. And the truth is that your body runs on glucose. It's designed to run on glucose to make maximum amount of ATP or energy in the presence of maximum oxygen. So it's not that sugar is bad. White sugar is bad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sugar that's in fruit, sugar that's in grains, you know, organic grains. Your body's going to slowly break down that carbohydrate into glucose and convert it into energy and not have a fat storage problem if you haven't messed up your insulin sensitivity for the last 5 decades on glucose, on white sugar.
Well, white sugar is like you said, the grains is that it's the, from my own research and from listening to, you and many others, it's really a combination of high glycemic index foods, which could be a bowl of cereal. But I mean, if you're eating high glycemic index foods all the time, and even if you eat sugar, then you're living like a hummingbird, and hummingbirds live very differently than we do. You need stuff that gives you, complex carbohydrates and great vegetables and all sorts of things. You can't really, do one thing. I don't think. It's good to have a broad diet and a complex diet.
Well, the thing is that there are people that have, if you look at Joanna Brandt, she cured herself of cancer eating nothing but grapes. Okay, that's a high glycemic food, but she cured herself of cancer. So my point is that it's this high glycemic and all this technical stuff that people start to get into and think that they're educated and savvy about diet and stuff is complete garbage. Okay, no animal in nature worries about their glycemic index. The monkeys just eat the bananas and they're fine. High glycemic food. So if you've got case histories of people that have cured themselves on fruit, like Arnold Errett, he had, kidney disease and went to 23 different doctors and didn't get any better. And then he started fasting and eating fruit. After 2 years of that, he had so much energy that he could bicycle with a professional bicycler all day long and surpass him at night, because he proved that energy is the flow of electricity. It's the flow of your God energy through your body, unobstructed. But if you're obstructed with the aluminum and from chemtrails, with the heavy metals from your mercury fillings, with the heavy metals from your vaccines when you're a kid, with the pesticides, herbicide residues, and or bad foods that are in the diet, this clogging up your system. Just cooking food creates so many denatured substances, denatured proteins, lipid peroxides, that when you're young, you're vital enough to detox this stuff, and it doesn't take much of a toll. The older you get, the less your detox capacity works efficiently, and the more this stuff builds up, the more inflammation happens, and the more insulin insensitivity happens, and you start to have diseases of acidosis, inflammation. So I'm radical because I have to be. The raw food diet is the only way you're going to get electron-rich food in every single bite that you eat that will not create inflammation but get rid of inflammation. And when you get rid of inflammation, what does the body do with all the extra energy? Heals. Finally completes its healing process. But if you're putting oxidized food into your body on a regular basis, which is cooked fats and cooked proteins, you will chronically be creating inflammation in your body. You will not keep up with it. And this is, of course, after a certain age when you can't get all the stuff out of the system. You will become acidotic and you will start to go downhill. Acidosis creates an anaerobic low oxygen environment that proliferates the growth of all your anaerobic organisms, viruses and fungus. So if a person really wants a high quality life and never wants to suffer from any one disease ever, they will eat 100% raw diet, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I want to jump slightly sideways for a moment. And months ago, we interviewed a doc, Stephen Gundry, who wrote, I'm trying to see the title of the book, Plant Paradox. And his thing, and I've seen other people talking about this, talking about lectins as being an issue for many people. And
that's
he
right.
talks about eliminating,
yeah.
He talks about eliminating lectins as a lifestyle, but then further on once in the interview, he talked about a woman who had had issue with nuts and always had to carry an EpiPen with her, so if she ate a nut, because she would go into anaphylaxis. And he then went on to say, after doing the diet for about a year, that she was out with somebody, had a salad that she didn't know nuts were in it, but when she got home, she noticed she was a little scratchy and itchy and was irritated, had some kind of reaction, and went to his office, and he took a blood draw, because he actually monitors things by taking inflammatory marker blood work, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that she was indeed having a reaction, but she had healed her body enough from stripping all that out for over a year on a clean diet that she was actually able to be exposed to some nuts, some lectins without issue. What do you think about people and sensitivity to lectins and gut health?
She's 100% dead on right. Anybody unwilling to, say, do the radical diet that I like, which is 100% raw, that would be the next best diet to do. He's, basically removing all the lectin-rich foods. He doesn't remove all the calcium oxalate-rich foods, which is why I couldn't do his diet. You know, he's okay with yams and I think potatoes and stuff, and those are super high in calcium oxalate, which would poison me. But
right.
They're low in lectins, you know, and same with millet. Millet's really low in lectins, but high in calcium oxalate. So I think it's a great diet for most people because most people can't wrap their minds around 100% raw and aren't willing to do buy the things needed to do it. But, you know, it's second best to what I prefer because, you know, if I eat the cooked fish that he recommends and stuff, I just feel lousy, you know.
And what about, I have somebody in chat asking a question on what's your thoughts on how to combat insulin resistance or how to change,
so,
I guess I would like to say.
Yeah, so the biggest thing on that is vitamin K2, minoquinone 7. So they've proven that when you're taking minoquinone 7, that it improves insulin sensitivity in the body. So that's the number one thing. If you go back 150 years ago when people were still a agrarian society, everything was, all the animals that were raised on grass, whether it was your chickens or your turkeys or your cows or whatever. So they were all eating the necessary amount of K1 to convert into K2 in their fatty tissues in the form of minoquinone 4, which is a weaker version of the K2, which is minoquinone 7 is the strongest version. But they'd get this in their diets in sufficient amounts that they would maintain bone density their whole life and they wouldn't develop insulin insensitivity and have diabetes because it just wasn't a problem. They had enough K2. So I recommend they get a product called K2 Plus that we carry because K2 works best in the presence of its twin cousin fat soluble vitamins, vitamin A and vitamin D. Vitamin A is not only responsible for vision and immunity and cell division, it's responsible for the dissolving of old bone. So you have to dissolve old bone to make new bone. And so as you dissolve old bone, you make this protein called the protein for the bone is called osteocalcin. But when it becomes dissolved into the bloodstream, it becomes uncarboxylated osteocalcin. And this form of osteocalcin does the magic of creating insulin sensitivity to our tissues for one, but two, for men, is it activates their testes and they produce a ton more testosterone. That's the number one. The other one is that the cell membranes need to be fixed in general. So for cell membranes are made up of proteins, fats, and 50% of that is protein and 50% is fat. Then you break the fatty portion down and it's going to be halfway saturated fat, halfway unsaturated fat. So one of the mechanisms by which the cell absorbs oxygen and then converts into mitochondria, that oxygen in the presence of glucose and ATP, is through omega-3 and omega-6 on the cell wall. So omega-3 and omega-6 is a big deal medicine for people. If they take our Andrea seed oils, they're going to get unoxidized, super high quality, easy to assimilate omega-3 and omega-6. We've got the flax, we've got the pumpkin, we've got the 5-seed blend, and we've got the hemp seed oil. All four of those have the omega-3 in them with the omega-6. So say I take a teaspoon of that three times a day of one of those oils, you're getting the oil that's going to restore part of the membrane's ability to absorb oxygen, plus the membrane integrity. Just for the membrane to work, to be insulin sensitive, it has to have the proper integrity, which is responsible for, which is because of the fatty acids that have to be there and the minerals. So there's a specific kind of mineral supplement called membrane complex. It's a calcium, magnesium, potassium attached to amino ethanol phosphate, which is the form of a chemical found on the surface of the cell walls. So this is naturally attracted by the cells to become a part of the cell surface. So the membrane integrity gets restored. And people, even if they have allergies, over the last umpteen years that I've been promoting that product, membrane complex, about 80% of the time their allergies symptoms go away. Sometimes 100% of the time they go away because it blocks the lipid pore opening that's not supposed to be open so that it won't absorb the allergen in the bloodstream. So that's another thing is a membrane complex, the K2 plus, the seed oils. And then, of course, there's a product. They need to be able to absorb the sugars starting today, even if they have insulin insensitivity. So there's certain nutrients that make that possible. One of them is the extract of cinnamon. One of them is chromium. And a few others, I think lipoic acid is another one. So we have a product called Sugar Uptake that's got all these nutrients that will start to help the person absorb sugar now, even when they still have insulin insensitivity. The fifth thing that I'll mention here is the person needs to restore an alkaline pH. All diabetics are acid. So if they measure their saliva pH in the morning before they brush their teeth, drink water, eat anything, every single one of them is going to test to be an acid pH in their saliva. And they can do that for 3 days in a row to get the average of what they are. And typically they're going to be in the fives or maybe low sixes. And they need to fix that because pH controls oxygen levels. So you can have all this sugar and all this insulin, but you're still not going to convert it into energy because you don't have oxygen. You have an absence of oxygen. So in the presence of oxygen, you'll make each molecule of glucose should convert into 32 units of energy. And the absence of oxygen is in a tumor cell, the molecule of glucose is going to convert into 2 units of energy and a whole lot of lactic acid. So they want to alkalize their body, and of course they need to detoxify. So they need to be more on a vegetarian diet. Raw vegan would be great. There's a really good book a friend of mine wrote called The Ecotarian Diet. It's a vegetarian recipe book and, you know, educational book on diet and how to become healthy. And that book would be a great starting point so people can make really delicious tasting food. And that vegetarian diet would be alkalinizing and helping them with regards to their dietary portion of alkalizing. But until they're back to a 7 to 7.4 saliva pH on a regular basis, they need to supplement with lime water. And that's not the lime, the citrus. That's lime calcium hydroxide as a mineral supplement that you take like anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon three times or twice a day to bring in enough alkalizing to compensate and neutralize the acids in the system.
That would I'm be making notes. Diet, I can't ask you a question. I'm writing as fast as I can. I wish I was a transcriber. You always get going really fast, but you have so much great information. I have a question again from chat about, do you have a nutrient that helps with incontinence?
Yes, pumpkin seed oil. So pumpkin seed oil is one oil that's been found to re-help a person with bladder incontinence to regain some control. And that would be my first recommendation.
And would you recommend Andreas pumpkin seed oil? Does he have a pumpkin seed
oil? That would be the only brand I would recommend, yes.
Okay.
Andreas brand, yeah.
Did you introduce us to him? I know we interviewed him, but I can't remember if you were the guy that – I think you brought him to us, and he was great. I like his product a lot.
Yeah, I would have been the guy that introduced you to him, yeah. Yeah, he was a German Olympic athlete that won 2 silver, 2 bronze, and 1 gold. In the 1996, he won gold in the high bar, so he's a gymnast. He's, you know, like a little Arnold Schwarzenegger. His arms are so big. Throughout his entire gymnastics career that started at age 6, he was taking ibuprofen for 14 years and or some other form of anti-inflammatory drug.
Wow.
So at the end of his career or end of his gymnastics thing, he started to compete and be paid for it without, you know, it's not like gymnastics. It's just like entertainment gymnastics. And somewhere in there, he started to bleed so badly out of his bowels that he finally was admitted to the hospital and he had lost 80% of his blood. Almost died right there in the hospital because they took more blood out to try and examine what was wrong with his blood. And that was like he didn't have any blood to give, so he went unconscious when they took the blood out. Anyways, he was in that hospital for, I don't know, 6 weeks or something. And he was on these like 9 medications, 33 pills a day. They gave him a diagnosis of Crohn's disease. And, you know, the doctor is talking outside of his door thinking he's not hearing, talking to each other, saying they don't know what to do. They don't have anything for him. So next day, I think it was, he checked himself out. His friend that picked him up said, I want you to try my fresh pressed black soy that I make at my home. So he takes just a teaspoon of this fresh pressed black soy every day. And over the course of 30 days, or was it 2 months? 30, I think it was 30 days. He it improved so much in his symptoms that he got off all 9 of his medications. So this sort of like, sparked something within him that he came from an engineering family and he just kind of had a natural ability to engineer stuff. So he started to engineer a new way to press seed oils that would produce a better product. And to date, he's got a patent pending technology that basically it doesn't grind the seed. So seeds are typically the way that seed oils are all pressed. This is all seed oils. They use a 1920s technology where it's all the seeds are put into a funnel system that takes it down into a grinder, corkscrew grinds it. And most of the seed oil companies that aren't conscientious about quality of the oil, they're going to heat the head of the thing up to like 125 degrees just so the oil comes out easier. Then when you have friction heat plus the added heat, you have about 140 degrees that the oils can get to. So you end up with an oil that's burnt, oxidized, And from that strong mechanical G-force pressing on the nuts and the seeds and the oils, you get a structural damage to the oil. That's to say the molecular structure of the oil has lost its ideal shape. So he's found a way to basically crush them without grinding. So it's kind of like he uses a cone, convex cone system where the convex portion is where the seed is and the concave portion is comes in and crushes it. And you get all the oil out with it comes out as low as 90 degrees. The oil comes out, and he puts it immediately into Myron glass, which is a special violet glass that protects it from all UV light. And we've had, you know, bottles can sit on the shelf for 2 years and be opened, and they still show virtually zero oxidation. So this is a real special substance because now you've truly captured nature's gift in the seed of the nut in that oil to give you the full benefit that it can give you. And we're not just talking about omega-3 and omega-6 or omega-9. We're talking about the chemical activity. Like in Chinese medicine, they know black sesame seeds are uniquely able to help nourish, strengthen, and repair the kidneys. And, okay, so Western medicine doesn't understand that. You know, black cumin seed oil. Black cumin seed oil has got so many compounds in it. And in the Middle East, where it originates and where they've been using it for, you know, generations, they say it's good for everything but death because it does so many things. And I've got all the studies on it. It's like, you know, everything from cancer to killing off viruses to helping each organ of the body, whether it's the stomach, helping kill H. pylori, helping your liver, helping your kidneys, helping your pancreas. That's another oil that would be great for a diabetic. It does so many things. you know, and the flaxseed oil, it's just the highest quality flaxseed oil you can get, so it's going to have the highest omega-3. And, you know, omega-3 converts into DHA, EPA in the body, some percentage of it. And they've got studies on that when they supplement people like in their 40s, they supplement them with EPA, DHA, and they measure their telomere length of their white blood cells. And over the course of 4 months, the group that got no DHA, EPA showed a regression and a shortening of the telomeres. The group that got the second highest dosage of the EPA, DHA had an increase in the length of the telomeres by 21 base pairs. And the group that got the highest dosage had an increase in their base pair length of their telomeres by 50 base pairs. So, you know, this just shows you, and I've read other information on this, so it's like when you can get rid of inflammation, your body naturally produces more telomerase, naturally lengthens the telomere, and that telomere length is what determines how young your cell functions. So these oils, based on the fact that Andreas got the symptomatic improvement in the beginning on the flax oil, and he continued, and he got so much better that he, you know, moved to, he had problems over there in Germany, so he moved to the States, and still had some symptoms of Crohn's, but he started to press coriander seed oil. And after 2 weeks on taking his own coriander seed oil, all of his Crohn's symptoms were 100% gone. And so he attributes that to getting rid of all the candida. And so we have evidence now from clients that have taken it that the coriander is very good at killing off fungus in the body and viruses in the body. Plus, it's been proven to raise glutathione by like up to 30-some-odd% in tissue systems.
Okay, I feel like we're racing to the finish. I can't believe how fast we're going. Wait, I feel like I'm in a video game. back up to the, were you saying that flaxseed was beneficial to the telomeres, or were you saying that the totality of his oils are all going to benefit the telomeres? Was there a specific oil that you named?
All of them, because they're all pretty much anti-inflammatory. So,
okay.
And there's four of the oils that we sell that all have omega-3 that would convert into EPA, DHA. But like we know, you know, black cumin seed oil, they've done studies on that. If they give black cumin seed oil to laboratory animals and they're giving them a carcinogen, something designed to create free radical damage and induce cancer, if they get, they, you know, three groups of different animals, one group gets nothing, just the carcinogen, one group gets the carcinogen plus the black cumin seed oil, and one group gets the carcinogen plus the black cumin seed oil plus honey. The first group gets the cancer and it's all messed up. After 6 weeks, they do studies and they find, okay, this one's all messed up. The group that got the black cumin seed oil was 80% protected from free radicals and tumor formation. The group that got the black cumin seed oil plus honey was 100% protected, which goes to show that the honey was going to emulsify the oil and transport it into the cells better, because all our cells want that glucose from the honey. So then they chaperone and carry the black cumin seed oil right in, and there's more of a thorough benefit. So you could say black cumin seed oil is just as anti-aging as flaxseed oil because it's so powerfully anti-inflammatory.
Awesome. All right, I think we have to pause for a moment. You can take a sip of water,
okay.
Take a deep breath. We
this is
going to
be.
Go ahead, Sherry. I know what you're going to say.
This is going to be a show people are going to listen to 10 times. So can you tell them how to listen to the show again? Richard,
sure.
This is just fun.
Yeah, this is great information as always, but I do feel a little bit like I'm in a Tron-like video game anytime I talk to Steven, because once he's off and running, it's truly like following. You know, I can follow, but boy, it's go. We're on slippery ice here. So when about 10 to 15 minutes after we end the show, which is very soon, I'm sorry to say, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, click on the Blog Talk Radio archive. And this show will be there in about 10 to 15 minutes. You can also find that at iTunes, any of your favorite podcast aggregators. Like my personal favorite is Pocket Cast, because it works everywhere. And you'll be able to go to there and search for Sherry Edwards, and you'll find anywhere. We're passing over possibly 550 shows. It just keeps growing. It's amazing. So this is that show. I know right after we're done, I'm going to be downloading the show so that I can read or listen to it again. Pause after everything that Stephen's each statement Stephen makes and make notes and then listen to the next one, because there's a lot of great information in here, and I'm excited to hear about the Andreas oils again, because I knew I was excited about them, but now you've got me re-excited about them again, because they're great food sources. The way he's producing them is so totally perfect. I mean, really, the most perfect, perfectly produced oils I have ever seen. It's truly quite, because I got some after the show that we did with him, and they really are there. They have flavor and characteristics that you have never had in oils before, and they're wonderful. So once again, if you would give us your website, and I think then we have to go.
Okay. The website is sgn80.com, sandgeorgenancy80.com. Thank you for having me on. Love you guys.
Wow. I want to
tell
much. People
That's
that
it.
On his
wow.
on his site, he has listing of diseases and nutrients in pairs. So if you got something, go to his site and look at what nutrients you need for it. You'll spend weeks there.
Well, we'll have to do this again because there's a lot more to share. I mean, I wanted to go on a lot of different topics and we didn't cover, so I hope you can have me on again soon.
Absolutely.
I'll speak to the boss. I think that's a great idea.
Okay. And I'll try and slow down.
No, I don't think it's likely. I like that in theory, but it's not in your nature, because once you get rolling with information, you have so much information and you're so filled with vitality of the information that you get going, and it really is like falling speed skater. It's a great thing. I like it.
All right.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. That was a blast. And we'll see you guys on Sunday, and we're talking to somebody.
Michael, somebody.
All right, there it is. Look him
up. Our future in healthcare.
Oh boy! Wow, what an adventure! Yeah, we'll have Stephen back soon after that. All right, everybody, have a great rest of the week.
Bye bye.
Thanks again, Stephen. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.